Hashem Hashem, Na'aseh V'Natzliach, Refuah Shalom Avon L'Chonim. Today's daf is daf Kaf Gimel. We are at the bottom of Kaf Bet Amud Bet at the Mishnah, right?
Yes.
Okay. We have a very fun, interesting Mishnah, Gemara today. It talks about, it's very practical too, like where you can place your sukkah. Can you make a sukkah on a boat? Can you make your sukkah on a ship, on a cruise? Can you make your sukkah in all different places? Can you place a sukkah on a treehouse sort of thing? Can you make your treehouse into a sukkah? All these different interesting questions we're going to see in this Mishnah and Gemara. It's not a long daf, but there is a bunch of practical halachot today. So the Mishnah says, "Ha'oseh sukkato berosha agala." If a person makes his sukkah at the head of the wagon, or he says. Oh, berosha shvina, or the head of the ship, the head of the boat. Kishira ve'olin la b'yom tov. It's kosher, sukkah is kosher, and you're allowed to go on it on yom tov, right? So Rashi explains, if you look at ve'olin la b'yom tov, umishum debaya lemitnasefa ve'in olin tana resha olin. The question is, why does it have to mention that you're allowed, if it's kosher, of course you're allowed to go in the sukkah on yom tov. Why does that Mishnah have to mention ve'olin la b'yom tov, that you can go in it on yom tov? The answer is, it wants to teach us a second case, that the sukkah is still kosher, but you're not allowed to go in it on Yom Tov. So it taught the first case also, meaning it said in the first case, olin la b'yom tov, they can go in it, even though it didn't need to say that. So as to teach us the second case where you're not allowed to go in it, and we're going to see that case right now. Ubarosh ha'ilan, if you made a sukkah at the head of the tree, o al gabe gamal, or on a camel, kishera, ve'en olin la b'yom tov, that is kosher, but you're not allowed to go up on those sukkot in a tree or on a camel, on an animal, on Yom Tov. And the reason for that is, there's a gezerah, you're not allowed to, number one, you can't use a tree on Shabbat or Yom Tov, meaning you're not allowed to hang a tree or climb a tree on Shabbat and Yom Tov. A person's not allowed to go up into their tree house or things like that. There's a question even about, sitting on a swing on Shabbat or Yom Tov. It's not so clear that it's pashut. Gam Yom Tov, Ein Bein Shabbat Yom Tov, Ela Ochal Nefesh Bilvad. Okay, so that's the discussion here. And then the same thing with regards to animals. There's also a gezerah with regards to animals, that a person is not allowed to ride in animals. Shema Yitlosh, and maybe while he's riding, maybe they'll be pluck something from a tree, or he'll pluck something from a tree or something along those lines. So it says that if you have a sukkah at the top of a tree or at the top of the animal, you're not allowed to sit in it on Yom Tov, but it is kosher. It could be kosher. It's funny, I was learning this Mishnah yesterday. Someone was telling me they went to one of these away colleges for Yom Kippur one year, and they saw that they had this transferable sukkah that was put in the back of a car, the back of one of these outside trucks. Yeah, so it was one of these non-religious schools that they would go around to each of the people and tell them, come in the sukkah and eat in the sukkah. And they would have one of these transferable sukkot that they would go from dorm to dorm. It was very interesting. So it's this question. Okay, next. Shtayim ba'ilan ve'achat bidei adam. If you have two of the, the walls of the sukkah on the tree, and one bidei adam means on the floor, right? So there's a good picture that we saw yesterday. Yeah. Okay. Good. So as long as you see it. Yeah. So, okay. Good. Yeah. So that's what it is talking about. Oh, shtayim bidei adam, or two on the ground ve'achat ba'ilan, and one wall on the tree, kishera, it's kosher. Vein olin la b'yom tov, you're not allowed to go into it on Yom Tov for the same reason of ein mishtamshim ba'ilan, you're not allowed to use a tree on Shabbat or Yom Tov. But now it says shalosh b'idei adam, but if there are three walls on the ground, v'achat ba'ilan, and one on the tree, kishera ve'olin la b'yom tov, in that case it's kosher and you're allowed to go in that on Yom Tov. Why would you think you would be allowed to go in that on Yom Tov? With the bottom of Kaf Bet Amud Bet.
Because the ilan doesn't support it.
Ah, very good. So you don't need that fourth wall. So that's what the Mishnah is about to continue. Zeh hakelal kol shenital ha'ilan. This is the rule. As if you take away the tree, v'yecholal la'amod b'fin atzma, and the sukkah can stand on its own without that tree, kishera ve'olin la'b'yom tov. It's kosher and you're allowed to go into it on Yom Tov. So in this last case, if you take away that tree, it loses its fourth wall, but it still has the three walls, which is still be makshir the sukkah. That's our Mishnah. Okay. Mani matnitin. Who is the author of our Mishnah? The Gemara answers, Rabbi Akivahi. It's talking about Rabbi Akiva. How do we know? Detanya, ha'oseh, this is the braita we saw earlier. Ha'oseh sukkato berosh ha'svina. If you make your sukkah at the head of the ship or boat. Rabban Gamliel posel, Rabbi Akiva machshir. Rabban Gamliel says pasul, Rabbi Akiva is machshir. Maaseh, Rabban Gamliel, Rabbi Akiva. There was a case where Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Akiva shehu ba'in v'asfina. They were coming on a ship. Amad Rabbi Akiva ve'asa sukkah b'rosh asfina. So Rabbi Akiva got up and made a sukkah at the head of the boat, at the head of the ship. L'machar nishba ruach v'akarta. So the next day there was a very heavy wind. The wind came and blew it down. Amar lo Rabban Gamliel, Akiva, hechan sukkatcha. So Rabban Gamliel asked him, he says, you know, Rabbi Akiva, where is your sukkah? What happened? Amar Abaye, so now the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, the kule alma, everyone agrees, the hecha de ina yechola le'amod beruach metzuya, de abasha, if it can't stand, if the sukkah can't stand in an easy wind on the shore, or you have a regular wind, if the sukkah can't stand through that, lo klumi, that's not a sukkah, it's not kosher. This is the whole machloket. I think this is where we get into the machloket between, what kind of walls it has to be and stuff like that. The Chazon Ish says, you know, it could even be curtains as long as it doesn't, drastically move more than 3 tefachim. Whereas Rav Avadia, he disagrees with him and says, no, it can't be something that, blows in the wind. It has to be something that, holds still. So that's why a lot of people have these curtain sukkahs, but they put this levud string going around, and the sukkah is the levud string. It's not the curtains, according to the Sfaradi. Rav Avadia. Yeah. So he says you need to have an actual wall sukkah. If you have curtain sukkah, you have to make sure to put the levud string, because that's what the sukkah is made for. Okay? So everyone agrees, if it can't stand in one of these easy winds, then it's not a sukkah. But also, yechola la'amod b'sheina mitzuya de'abasha, if it could stand in a wind that's not so common, if it can't stand in a wind that's not so common, meaning if it can't stand, let's say, in a blowing crazy windstorm, that's also, it's still kosher. Kuli amalo pligi dekshira. Everyone agrees that's kosher. Where's the machloke between Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Akiva? Ki pligi, they're disagreeing. B'de yechola la'amod b'ruach metzuya. When it can stand, the abasha, when it can stand in a normal type of wind, ve'ina yochala la'amod, and it can't stand, there's a girsa change over here, I think, beruach metzuya de'yam, and it can't stand in a found wind, a crazy wind by the water. So meaning, they're disagreeing in a case where it could stand on a regular wind, but it can't stand on an ocean wind. So Rabban Gamliel Savar, Sukkah dirat keva bain. And Rabban Gamliel holds you need a dirat keva. This is like the opinion we saw. Whose opinion? We saw this. Who needs dirat keva? Sukkat keva. Rabbi Yehuda, right? He's the same opinion as Rabbi Yehuda. Ve'kevan de'ina yechola la'amod beruach metzuya de'yam. Since it cannot stand in a regular wind that flows by the water, lo klum hi. It's not a sukkah. Rabbi Akiva savar. Rabbi Akiva holds sukkat dirat arai bain. No, he says you need a temporary sukkah. Ve'kevan de'yechola la'amod beruach metzuya de'yabasha keshera. Rabbi Akiva says since it could stand in a ruach metzuya at the shore, it could stand in a regular wind that we have today, that's enough. That's kosher. Okay, that's the machloket between Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Akiva. Okay, very good. Okay. So the halacha, we say that, like we said in the beginning of Masechet, that a person has to tzemi dirat keva, b'tikanes b'dirat arai. So really the halacha, we hold that it has to be a dirat arai. Right? It has to be a, dirat arai, which doesn't mean that, I went to someone's sukkah one time, his sukkah was like a house. The walls were made of house. It's one of their second homes, and what they do is the top is, it opens up. So they open it up during Sukkot, and they put a skach over it. And then when it starts raining, they don't want it to come through because it's an actual home inside. So they take a tarp or some sort of thing to put it on top of the skach to cover it when it's raining, so that nothing gets wet in the inside. But it's the coolest thing, because the inside is mamash, it feels like a house. So it's like, it's dirat arai, because it's a skach, but at the same time, it's like you're fulfilling Rabbi Yehuda also. Exactly. Okay, we're in the middle of Kaf Gimel Amud Aleph.
The ceiling goes down, but less than 20 amos.
Yeah, it's still low.
Dirat Arai, the meaning is, it's only for that period is Arai, not for the whole, so it's kosher. If you do a sukkah from cinder blocks, okay, and you put schach on it, there's no problem.
Right, that was what we said on the Daf Bet.
The walls can be kavah.
Yeah, the walls can be kavah, but the sukkah's top has to be Arai, has to be a schach. Okay. The Mishnah said, "O al gabe gamal." If you put a sukkah, if you make a sukkah on top of a camel, on top of an animal, we said the sukkah can be kosher, but you're not allowed to go into it on Yom Tov. So the Mishnah says, "Nitin mani." Who is the author of that part of the Mishnah? Meaning, the Gemara understands that the Mishnah had multiple authors; it wasn't just one author to this Mishnah. So they're trying to find who's the opinion in a different part of the Masechet or a different part of the Shas that goes well with that opinion. We're in the middle of Kaf Gimel Amud Aleph. So he says, Mandin Timani, who's the Mishnah? Rabbi Meir here. Rabbi Meir, he. It's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Detanya. If you make a sukkah on top of an animal, it's very interesting if you look at the picture. You use the animal as the base. And the sukkah is on top of the animal. Okay, it's a very interesting case. So, Rabbi. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Rabbi Meir makshir, Rabbi Yehuda posel. So Rabbi Meir says that's kosher. Rabbi Yehuda says that's pasul. Same opinion. Rabbi Yehuda goes to Rabbi Gamliel, same opinion that you need dirat keva. Okay, but what do we see here? Rabbi Meir's opinion that holds that it's kosher.
But not in Yom Tov, according to Rabbi Meir also.
That what? That, yeah, you can't go into it on Yom Tov, but it's still kosher, yeah. My tamad Rabbi Yehuda, what's Rabbi Yehuda's reasoning? Amar kra. The pasuk says, Chag hasukot. Right, make for yourself a sukkah 7 days. What does that mean? Sukkah hareuya l'shiva, a sukkah that is fit for 7 days. Shema sukkah, that is considered a sukkah. But something that's not, it's kind of the same thing. He's just using a pasuk to derive it, I think. So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says hareuya l'shiva. Since the Chachamim say you're not allowed to even go into it on the first day of Yom Tov because you can't mishtamesh with an animal, you can't use an animal on Yom Tov. So you see that what? You can't even use it on the first day. How is that considered, you know, being able to use for 7 days? So clearly it's not kosher, Rabbi Yehuda says. This is kind of actually from a different sense. Not necessarily from Dirat Keva. The Sukkah itself could be Dirat Keva, but since it's on an animal, and we said you're not allowed to use an animal on Shabbat, So for that reason, you can't even use it on the first day of Yom Tov, so it's not fit for 7 days.
Just want to travel with it.
There was a question one time, if you can make a sukkah in your car. If let's say a person had the skylight of his car was Hechsher sukkah, and he wants to put a skach on top of the Hechsher. This is exact, you know, this question, but it's not an animal, so it could be that it even works. But again, on Yom Tov, it might be the same question, because now you don't have, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you can't go into it on Yom Tov. Because if you open the car, then the lights turn on and stuff like that. So you can't really open the car on Yom Tov. Yeah, if you turn off the battery, maybe, yeah.
Did you bring it or something?
Nachon?
Nachon.
Yeah, I was saying in the beginning of the shiur.
You can open the cars.
So I
yeah, exactly, that too. On an animal, Rabbi Meir says you're allowed to, but you cannot go into it on Yom Tov. Rabbi Yehuda says it's not kosher.
Okay, so
meaning, is the sukkah kosher if it's on an animal? So that I think lehalacha we say the sukkah is kosher, but you're not allowed to go into it on Yom Tov. That's what it seems like.
So what do they do with the taaseh lecha shivat yamim?
What do they do?
The one that machshir.
Meaning, it's a sukkah that's fit for 7 days, according to Rabbi Meir. It just happens to be on an animal that you cannot use on Yom Tov. It's not a matter, it's not that the sukkah is not fit. The sukkah is fit. It's a kosher sukkah according to Rabbi Meir. You understand?
Not only that, going on animal is in the rabbah.
Right, it's a gezerah. Nachon. Okay, let's continue. So sukkah she'ina reuya l'shiva lo shma sukkah. Sukkah is not fit for seven, is considered a sukkah. Okay, now the Gemara asks you a question, okay, so what does Rabbi Meir say about that? Rabbi Meir, how does he answer that pasuk? Hanami mideoraita mechazia chazia. According to the Torah law, the sukkah is fit. Right? And our Chacham over here told us, V'rabbanan hu degazir ubah, but the Chachamim were gozer not to use the animal. That doesn't mean the sukkah is not kosher. The sukkah is still fit min haTorah. That's why he says it's still kosher. Okay? Very clear. Okay. Next part of the Gemara. Asa'a lebehema dofen lesukkah. Very interesting. You made the animal a wall for your sukkah. What's the din? Can an animal be one of the three walls that you require for a sukkah? Rabbi Meir posel, Rabbi Yehuda machshir. Now you got the opposite opinion. Rabbi Meir goes on the strict side. He says, no, you can't do that. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you can do that. It's kosher. Shahaya Rabbi Meir omer. Because Rabbi Meir used to say, kol davar sheyesh bo ruach haim, ein osin oto lo dofen l'sukkah. Anything that has, you know, a spirit of life, you can't make it not a wall for a sukkah. Velo lechi l'mavor, you can't make it a, you know, a pole for an alleyway for Shabbat. Velo pasin l'biraot. You know, this is a different aspect of Pasina Biraot. I think we saw this earlier in the Gemara also. So basically you have a bore, you have a pit with water that they pull water out of. And there, right. And they try to make on Shabbat a, you know, reshut hayachid for you to be able to pull water out of. So what do they do? They do this pasei biraot that you make four corners of wall that is a tefach on each side. So you have one corner is a 90 degree angle of, right? Each corner, tefach, 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 and that would make it, you know, permitted to do that. So he says you cannot use a Ruach Haim, someone who has spirit of life, pour one of those walls either. It's part of this whole Baraita that Rabbi Meir holds.
Does this mean, so this mean you cannot use a live tree?
Not a live tree. Someone with a spirit, like human or animal or something along those lines.
Tree is not considered alive.
Not in this regard. Ruach Haim, Yeshua life. Yeah, actually life.
But we said person can be a wall.
When?
Person can be a wall on Shabbat and Kings. And so there are...
Nahon. So the question is now, what's the difference between this and that? But we're going to have to see how you can use an animal. Again, this is the shita of Rabbi Meir. Not necessarily do we hold the halakha like Rabbi Meir. I think actually the halakha we hold like Rabbi Yehuda. That if you do it in the correct way, how we're going to see how you do it with the animal, you could use a Ruach Haim for a wall. But Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that you cannot. This is his different opinion. Okay, so he says, but you can also, you're not allowed to use it. Vila golil lekever. You can't use it as a, you know, a cover for a grave or a coffin, let's say. You're putting someone in a coffin, you can't use a Ruach Haim, some live animal or a species, as a cover for that. It's just on the way he was teaching that. His main point was that you can't use a Ruach Haim for a sukkah. Now, Mishum Rabbi Yossi Agelidi Amru, in the name of Rabbi Yossi Agelidi, they said, Af in kodvin alav gitei nashim, you're not even allowed to write on these, you know, live spirited species, get for women. Now, go back to the regular subject. Ma'i tamar de Rabbi Meir. What's Rabbi Meir's reasoning? Why aren't you allowed to use the animal for a sukkah wall? Abaye amar shema tamut. Abaye says, lest the animal will die, and then you don't have the sukkah wall anymore. Why? We look at Rashi. Shema tamut habehema biyom tov v'tipol v'en kan dofen. You have an animal, right? So we need the wall to be certain height, right? That's the 10 tefachim, 7 by 7 by 10. Now, what happens if the animal dies and falls? Now, on Yom Tov, it falls over and you lose the sukkah. You lose the wall. So he says that you're not allowed to use that as a sukkah, according to Abaye, because lest the animal might die and it'll fall and then you lose your sukkah. That's first opinion.
Why not just say animal walks? I mean, which animal have you seen?
Oh, okay, that's the next opinion. Good. Rabbi Zera Amar Shema Tivrach. Second opinion, maybe he'll run away. He's going to walk away from the sukkah. He's not going to stay there.
But I don't understand so now, the first opinion, because and not soft. It can be a storm, it can be this.
Nahon?
Same chances that the animal die in the next 2 days. The same chances of a lot of...
Yeah, it's a good point you're making. No answer. It's a good point. Yeah, these are a little. You know, the first one is a little bit dachuk, but in certain places it could apply. So let's see what the nafka mina would be. What the difference is between the two opinions? Bepil kashur with a tied elephant, kule alma lo pligi. No one is disagreeing. Di'in nami ma'it. Even if it dies, yesh v'nivlato asara. That even if it dies, its nivela of an elephant is huge. It has definitely 10 tefachim. Even if it dies and falls. So regardless of that, you will always have 10 tefachim with a tied elephant. If you tie an elephant to the sukkah wall, if it dies, okay, it'll crouch down a little bit. But even if it crouches down, you know how big an elephant is? You know? So, okay. Okay, kipligi, when are they disagreeing? They're disagreeing, kipligi bepil she'eino kashur, with an elephant that's not tied. So what's the difference between the two opinions? Limanda amar shema tamut, according to the one who says that maybe it'll die, lo chashina, we're not worried over there. Demanda Amar Gezerah Shema Tivrach, but according to the one who says maybe it'll run away over there, Chayshina, that we're afraid for. Meaning, like you guys said in the beginning, why would we be afraid that the animal will die? Okay, it's a strong elephant; it's not going to die. Don't worry, we don't have to be so afraid that the animal will die. But we are. But according to the opinion that says it'll run away, yeah, you're right. You made a good point. Maybe it'll walk away. So now it says Demanda Amar. Okay, now the Gemara asks the question: Demanda Amar Gezerah Shema Tamut. According to the one who says that it's a decree lest it'll die, why doesn't he? Nichush Shema Tivrach. Why doesn't he worry that maybe it'll run away? It's a good question. Why are you worried about it dying? It's not going to die, but maybe it'll run away. Why don't you worry for the second opinion? So, okay, yeah, you're right. So let's figure out a different scenario that this, you know, this animal would work. Ela bepil she'eino kashur kulei alma lo pligi. If it's an animal, if it's an elephant that isn't tied, everyone agrees also in that case that it's no good because the animal could run away. It'll walk away from the wall. It's disagreeing with regards to an animal that is tied. According to the one who says that maybe it'll die, we are worried. But according to the one who says maybe it'll run away, we're not worried because it's tied, so it can't run away anywhere. Okay, so
regular
animal now. So if it was an elephant, then it would be fine, even if it died. Why? Because it has, you know, even in its nevelah, 10 tefachim. Here's a regular sized animal, so if it falls down and crouches a little bit, now you might lose 10 tefachim, or it might fall over. So that's why he's worried about maybe it'll die. Now we're going to ask the same question the other way. According to the one who says that it's a decree, lest he'll run away, that over here he's not worried, why doesn't he worry that in this case, with the tied regular animal, that maybe it'll die and it'll fall over and you'll lose your wall? Okay, so the Gemara answers to that, mita lo shechicha, death is not common. Like you guys said very clearly in the beginning, why, you're going to have a storm that the animal is going to die, was going to be hail? Why would the animal die? Why would you say the chazakah is that the animal will die? We know that animals, like the Gemara says in Chulin, you know, we say that when you slaughter the animal, until you find something wrong, it's b'chazakah that it's kasher, generally, right? Also in its lifetime, it's a chazakah that it won't die. It's not going to die unless something's, you know, going on in the world that it should die. It wasn't very common for death of the animal to happen.
Can you see in a sukkah that there's a bad smell around it?
That what?
They said not to do it.
Bad smell coming from outside.
Shema.
Like the sheep of an elephant. Why did Noah mention this?
Oh, bad smell. I think we mentioned it in a different part of the Masechet. Yeah, if you have bad skach, they say not, you shouldn't use bad skach, because what happens is when people are going to go, bad smell, and they're all going to run out. So yeah, if it's going to be a bad smell, in Achinami, I guess they're talking about a good smelling elephant. But here it's not talking about elephant anymore. That's a good question. We're not talking about elephant anymore. Now we're talking about regular animal. The halakha, the sukkah is kosher. It's just, it's not a good thing to do because that people will walk out. No one's going to want to sit in there. Okay. Unless we see it as like a sort of a gezerah that Hamim didn't want you to do that so as not to make people walk out. Okay, now the Gemara asks a different question. With regards to that, so we said this, we concluded the Gemara saying that this wall of the sukkah can be an animal, a regular animal that you tie down. We're not worried for it to run away because it's tied down. We're not worried for it to die because dying is not common. But now another question. Why aren't we worried for the space between the legs of the animal? What if there's space between the legs of the animal that constitutes an opening in the wall of the sukkah big enough that it's not considered lavud, it's not considered together? It's a good question. Like Mara says, David lay behutza vedafna. No, he puts types of branches and things along those lines in between the legs so as to cover the hole, so it's not considered an opening. So you have an animal tied. In between his legs, there's a good gap. He puts branches and things along those lines in between going across so as not to make a big space.
But what about the movement?
Let's finish this part. Vidilma Rav'a. Maybe what happens is maybe the animal might die and it'll crouch down and now it'll go below 10 tefachim. That's a good question also. So even if you say, or not even necessarily die, maybe it'll just crouch. Maybe it'll just crouch down. It gets tired standing on its legs up high. It'll crouch down, and now maybe it goes below 10 tefachim. The Gemara says, "Demeticha be'ashle mil'el." No, he takes it and he wraps it with ropes from on top. He wraps the animal from on top of his body, the ropes, literally keeping him up so the animal can't sit. The animal cannot crouch down. There's no way the animal's going down. I don't think so. I don't think it was painful. Okay. Now the Gemara says, "Uleman da amar gezerah shema tamut." According to the one who says that it's a decree lest the animal will die, nami ha meticha be'ashle mila'el. Why can't you say that his opinion works and say that you're just tying it from on top? Meaning, why we said, it's mita is not shechicha. Mita, death is not common. Even if you say death is common, if you tie it from on top, even if it dies, it's not going to fall down. It's tied to the top,
right.
So that would work too. The Gemara says, "Zimnin demoikim bepachon mishlosha samuch leskach." Sometimes you establish the animal with less than 3 tefachim, close to the skach, which will constitute levud. Meaning, let's say this is the skach. I'll put the animal tied to here like this. It's within 3 tefachim, so it's kosher. But what happens is, "Vekevan demaita." Once it dies, kavtza velav adate. It'll start shrinking a little bit, and you won't realize. So now it'll go below that 3 tefachim within the skach, and you lose levud, and it's not kosher anymore.
Does he talking about one wall of elephant or four wall of elephant?
It could be all the walls, but yeah. The pictures, the way they show it, it's talking about one wall. That's how it's most commonly seen. But I don't see why it can't be all of them. If you set it up in a way that it would work.
I never saw anything that doesn't move. That's the question.
Nachon? Yeah, it would seem that probably just one of the walls would be the animal. But again, it's not an elephant. Right? If it was an elephant, then it would be kosher benkach. Because elephant, even when it dies, no matter what, its nevela is still 10 tefachim high.
But this
but regular animal.
What the question about the smell? You say that smell.
No, if it's a bad smell, you shouldn't do that lechatchila. It's not good to place your skach as a bad smelling skach or your walls or anything like that. Okay, good. Yeah, after there's no problem. After you can. It's like a lot of people hang fruits on their sukkah as decorations. So during the holiday, if you're maktzeh it for a decoration, then you shouldn't use it. But after the holiday, it's mutarze. Unless. Okay, let's continue. Umi Amar Abaye, Rabbi Meir, Chayish Lamita, Rabbi Yehuda, Lo Chayish. Did Abaye really say that Rabbi Meir is the one who is worried for death and Rabbi Yehuda is the one that's not worried for death? He's going to show. We're going to have three cases. We're going to dissect the three cases and show. Is Rabbi Meir really the one who holds that he's worried for the animal dying or for something to die? Or it's really Rabbi Yehuda? Meaning maybe he taught that opinion the wrong way. Right, what we just thought was Rabbi Meir is afraid that the animal might die. That was what we thought. Does Rabbi Abai really say that? We taught in the Mishnah in Masachet Gitin, Bat Israel Sheniset LeKohen. If a an Israelite woman, she married a Kohen, v'halach ba'ala l'medinat hayam. And her husband went away, he went on a trip. So, ochele b'truma b'cheskat shu kayam. She can continue eating teruma, b'chazaka that her husband is still alive. Urminan Allah, but they make a problem on this, they make a contradiction on this. What do they say? If she says, harezekitech, if he says to her, harezekitech sha'achat kodem itati. He's going away, wherever he's going, and back then it was very dangerous to travel. So he says, this is your get, this is your get, 1 hour before I die. Does that work? Are you allowed to do that? Meaning, I don't know if I'm going to die, but if I do die, this is your get 1 hour before, so she doesn't become a woman who can't remarry, because she doesn't know if her husband's alive, not alive. So the Gemara says, Asura lechol b'truma miyad. She's not allowed to eat teruma right away. So what do you see from that? That we don't say he has a chazaka that he's still alive. Right away, once he leaves the house, he's dead. He's considered out. He's considered as a get. He's considered finished.
Not as far as a get. As far as a truma.
Right. As far as the truma. I'm trying to join.
But she's not that good now.
But since that's the whole contradiction. So we said at the beginning that if he leaves, we don't view him as dead. We view him as alive, no matter what. And she can still eat truma. Now we're saying if he says, here's your get 1 hour before my death. Once he leaves the house, he's considered dead and she can't eat truma anymore. Contradiction. Wait. Now it's going to bring. So now it says, "Va'amar Abaye lakasha." Abaye says this is not a contradiction. Ha Rabbi Meir, the lochayish lemita. This opinion, the first one, that it was Rabbi Meir, that he is not worried for death. He's not worried the man's going to die. Ha Rabbi Yehuda, the lochayish lemita. Whereas the second opinion is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who is worried for death. What do you see from this? That Rabbi Meir is saying, I'm not worried for death. And Rabbi Yehuda is saying, I am worried for death. This contradicts on what Abaye just said in the first case of the animal being the wall of the sukkah. That Rabbi Meir was choshesh lemita. He was worried for death. And Rabbi Yehuda was not worried for death. It's a contradiction. Now we're bringing the braita. The Tanya. Halokech yain mibein hakutim. If someone buys wine from amongst the kutim were, a type of, let's just call them not Jewish for easier sake. They didn't accept upon themselves the mitzvot l'shem shamayim, and they didn't do it the right way, so we don't view them as Jews. And this was in those times before there was a gezerah on buying wine amongst the non-Jews. Nowadays, a person is not allowed to go and buy a bottle of wine that doesn't have hechsher on it from a non-Jew, let's say, because you don't know if they did yayin nesech, and so on and so forth. This was back then, before the gezerah. So it says, someone buys this kind of wine. Omer, he can say now, he wants to... Okay, so Rashi explains either two situations. One, it could be that it's Shabbat already, and you can't be mafrish turmod ma'asorot on Shabbat, because it's mitaken. The other opinion, it could be that he doesn't have, his own kelim, so there's no kosher kelim around for him to put teruma into. But he wants to separate from this wine, shuruma, because he got it from a kuti, and we know kuti are the lowest level that they don't separate turmod ma'asorot. 100% they didn't do it. So he has to separate teruma. Now he wants to know, how should I do it? Because let's say it's Shabbat, for example. I can't separate, but I want to drink the wine. So what do I do? So look at what he says. He can say, Omer, Shnei Lugin Shani Atid Lahafrish. These two measurements, let's say it was 100 Lugin, whatever we call it, 100 millimeters, just milliliters. He says, 2 milliliters or whatnot, I'm separating, that I'm going to in the future separate, Hare Hen Terumah. They are Terumah from now. Asara, 10 of that 100, Maaser Rishon. Wait, before I get into it, maybe I should give a little intro on Terumah. Terumah and Maaser. Maaser, everyone understands? Very quick. There's Terumah Gedolah, where you give 1/50th to the Kohen. Maaser Rishon, you give 1/10th to the Levi. Terumah Maaser, the Levi gives 1/10th of his 1/10th to the Kohen. Then there's Maaser Sheni, in years 1, 2, 4, 5, that you either you take up to Yerushalayim or you redeem it on something, on money, and you go and buy food in Yerushalayim to eat. And there's Maaser Ani, the third and the sixth year, that you give 10% to the poor person. These are all Maaser. Now he says, so Asara Maaser Rishon, the 10, 1/10th of it, which is 10 Lugin, he gives to the Levi. Tisha, now what are you left with? He took out 10, he took out 2, so you have 88. So now about 1/10 of 88 is about 9. So you take Tisha Maaser Sheni, and 9 would be Maaser Sheni, where you take up to Yerushalayim. That's 1/10. Now he's left with 79 left, 79 milliliters or Lugim of this wine left. And he says, Ummechel Veshotem Yad, he can redeem it, and he can redeem the Maaser, and he can drink that right now, even though he's not actually being, Maaser it now. Meaning it's Shabbat right now. So he's not allowed to do it now. He's saying, I'm going to be doing this, I'm going to be doing in the future. Retroactively, I'm doing it from now.
From which wine?
From the wine that he just bought from the Kuti. Meaning, yeah, he's only going to have 3/4 of the wine. He's going to leave over that last quarter for everything he just designed it for.
On the table, and he's taking a portion. He's drinking.
You understand? So now he says, Divrei Rabbi Meir. That's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. This is a concept called Yesh Berera. Let's just finish 3 more lines and we're going to be finished with the Gemara for today. So there's Yesh Berera and there's Ein Berera. Yesh Berera means you can say that retroactively I am doing something now that it will occur afterwards, and so I'm retroactively separating something from before. It's a concept all over Shas that we need to remember. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, Osirin. All of them three, they say you're not allowed to do that. Why they say, Ein Berera. You're not allowed to, do something retroactive and say, oh, since I'm in the future going to separate this, I can do it from now retroactively. You can't do that. So now what do we see from this? Let's look at Rashi. Rashi says, the first Rashi on Kavdal Amud Aleph, V'amrinam, Gezerah Shema Yivkaha Nod. Why do they say you're not allowed to do what he says? Because maybe the bottle will break open. Their bottles weren't like our bottles. Maybe the bottle will break open, it'll spill, and then you didn't do Terumah. So that was their gezerah. V'lo yavoli de brera. You didn't come and separate or differentiate. V'nimtzas shotet tevalim. You're drinking tevel. Isur daoraita. He says, Alma, what do we see? Rabbi Yehuda chayish la bekiata nod. Rabbi Yehuda's second opinion. He's worried for bekiata nod, for the exploding of the bottle, for the bottle to break. V'kol sheken lemitat adam. How much more so he's choshesh, he's worried for the death of a person. Rabbi Meir, lo chayish, and Rabbi Meir is not worried. Rabbi Meir was the first opinion who said, no, you can drink it, you don't have to worry that the bottle is going to break. If we're worried for the bottle, he's saying, kol sheken, we're worried for a person to be dead. What do we say in the first case though? In our first case, we said, there's a man who's a Kohen, he goes away. If he gives his get and he says, 1 hour before the death, one hour before I die, this is your get, she's considered that once he leaves the house, he's considered dead and she can't eat Terumah anymore. That was the opinion of who? We said that was the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that he's Chayish Lamita. So what do you see? Rabbi Yehuda is giving a proof to the fact that Rabbi Yehuda is the opinion that we're Choshesh for Mita. If you go back to our original case of the dolphin, the animal being the dolphin, we said that Rabbi Meir is Choshesh Lamita. It's a huge contradiction. That was what this whole daf was for. The Gemara now answers, Ipuch. We switch the opinions. Really go, switch it around. Rabbi Meir, Chayish Lamita. Rabbi Yehuda, Lo Chayish Lamita. Switch it around. Because, let's say really, Rabbi Meir is the one who's worried for death, and Rabbi Yehuda is not worried from death.
I think that was also an opinion with the two wives.
Yeah?
No,
he was just saying a comment in Masachat Yomah that he was saying he was also Choshesh over there. Okay, let's finish with one line. Detanya, how do we know? Asal lebehema dofen lesukah. If you made an animal a wall for the sukkah, Rabbi Meir posel Rabbi Yehuda machshir. Rabbi Meir is posel the sukkah, and Rabbi Yehuda is machshir the sukkah. What do we see? It's going back on that source in the beginning, the first case, that Rabbi Meir is posel because he's worried for death. So you know, how does this work exactly? If we look at Rashi, Epuch, what is Epuch? Lo shaninu abaye kede ka'amart. Abaye didn't teach like you said. Ela ibcha shaninu abaye. He taught the opposite, actually. Had de lo chayish Rabbi Yehuda. The one who's not worried is Rabbi Yehuda. Vad de chayish Rabbi Meir. And that one is worried is Rabbi Meir. Velav mahalokech yain shaninu abaye. Ela mehach de sukkah. He didn't learn it from the case of buying wine from the kuti. Rather, he learned it from the case of sukkah, where you put an animal as a wall of a sukkah. The Rabbi Yehuda lo chayish, Rabbi Meir chayish. Rabbi Yehuda was worried. Sorry, Rabbi Yehuda was not worried, and Rabbi Meir was worried for death. So, meaning, he's not learning it out from this last case. We had three cases, just to go over again. The first case was the case of the animal being the wall of the sukkah. Rabbi Meir says pasul, Rabbi Yehuda says kasher. Second case we said was you have a bat Yisrael who's married to kohen. He's going away. In number one case, we said she can continue eating truma. Why? Rabbi Meir is not choshesh for death. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda in the second case was that if he gives his get and says 1 hour before I die, this is the get, she cannot drink, have teruma anymore once he leaves the house immediately. And then we had a third case of if you buy wine amongst the kutim, amongst these, let's call them not really Jewish people, and you do all of the ma'aser aspect, Rabbi Meir says you are allowed to drink. Rabbi Yehuda says no, we're choshesh, it's going to break. We don't learn from this last case of the wine. This is not talking about death. We learn from the actual case of sukkah itself, how we know whose opinion is what. So this one that you said, oh, it's a good point. Oh, Rabbi Meir is not choshesh over here. It's not a proof. That's what he's saying. He's saying we switch around opinions. We say, really, it's Rabbi Meir who is always worried for death, and it's Rabbi Yehuda who is not worried for death. Okay, we're going to see, you know, the contradiction. Huh? Yeah, we're going to see it's a clear contradiction still because number one, the wine case, we see Rabbi Meir is still not choshesh. So how can you say Rabbi Meir is the one who's choshesh? So B'ezrat Hashem, tomorrow we'll be able to see that contradiction. We'll continue from there.